Have you ever seen a longhorn steer? These things grow the biggest horns, and they become so big and oftentimes really heavy for the steer to carry. And if you go to Texas, you'll see them everywhere. And as you see them out there, you'll see them many times dragging their horns through the dirt, and their heads are just down in the dirt all the time. And the reason why is these steer carry such a heavy weight that it often becomes really hard to lift their head back up. You know, our life is that way sometimes. We get so many things happening heavy that hit us, sometimes in our head, in our heart, that happen to us. And it gets hard to lift up our head again. Today, the Bible tells a story about a woman who was going through an issue just like this. And we're in a series we're called Rise Up. And I want to continue this series today and ask you the question, are you bent? The Bible tells a story about a woman who was bent for 18 years. She spent her life bent over. Let's pick up this story in Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 11. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, he saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She had been bent double for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight. For 18 years, this woman had been tormented so much that it manifested in her physical body. She was so much tormented in her mind, in her spirit, that it began to take a place where she was doubled over, completely over, and it manifested in her physical body. See, 18 years of not raising up, 18 years of not being able to lift up her head, 18 years of not looking her family in the eyes, 18 years of not being able to embrace anybody. Many of us have been bent emotionally. We have things that come along. We're bent on our self-worth. We've been bent by our view of ourselves. We get bent from words of criticism. We get bent from our fears. We get bent because our marriage is in trouble. We get bent because our children are not going the way we want it to go. Our finances have us bent many times. Or this distancing, social distancing through COVID-19 has us bent. A lot of things can get us bent. And so what do you do when you find yourself in a season of being bent? I want you to write this down. Number one, we got to learn to get unbent from doubt. You see, when doubt comes in, it can knock you down. Have you ever fallen out of nowhere? I had a son the other day who was working in the garage, and he was working on a project, decided to open the door up to get some fresh air in, and he was right there close to the garage door. And while he was bent over working on a project, someone lowered the garage door about halfway. And then him not realizing it, turned around, and he ran right smack and hit his head on that door, knocked him loopy there for a few minutes out of nowhere. Have you ever fallen out of nowhere? I have. I've missed a step in the dark, and all of a sudden, you find yourself on the ground, and you're like, where did that come from? It just knocked you down out of nowhere, and that's the way life comes, and it comes, and it can knock you down, and you didn't even see it coming. You know, one word of doubt can come in and sink in. One word of criticism can come in and get us down and knock us down. It only takes one thing to create that self-doubt. We start having moments of comparison, and all of a sudden we start doubting ourselves, and then that begins to bend us over. Listen, am I good enough? We're asking that question, am I good enough? We ask the question, is my marriage good enough? Am I a good enough parent? Am I good enough at my job? It will keep growing and growing and growing. This question, am I enough, when we let doubt come in? And it will paralyze you. It will bend you over. When you start looking around and comparing yourself to everybody else has got it together but us. That's the way it seems. Everybody else's life is perfect but us. Everybody else's kids are great. Man, they're all having vegetables and steak, and they're having a great meals, home-cooked meals, and my kids are eating Pop-Tarts all day long. You know, we start comparing, we feel like, man, we're not living up to where we need to be. Listen, look at this statement. Comparison is the thief of joy and the robber of contentment. Comparison will steal our joy, and it will steal our contentment. Listen, we got to stop. Stop comparing yourself to everyone else's highlight reel. Stop comparing yourself to everyone else's highlight reel. This is the way it goes. We look through social media and we see things happening, and man, we are in the process of trying to do things ourselves, and everybody else on social media, they've got it together. Their family's dressed nice. Their hair is looking great. You know, they're having these great home-cooked meals. Their kids are making A's. Their kids are scoring touchdowns. Their kids hit a home run. Their kids are on the honor roll. And everybody else has got this perfect life. And we feel like, man, we're just struggling to keep up day to day. But what you got to remember is this. You're just seeing people's highlight reels. No one's putting out there, man, I struggled today. Man, my kids were in trouble today. I had to go to the principal's office today. Man, I got called in at work today. We don't share those things. No, we do the exact opposite. We share the things that make us look great. And if we're not careful, we see all these great highlights of everybody else's life, and we feel like our life, in comparison, is a wreck. And so it causes self-doubt to come in. It helps us question ourselves. Am I really a good enough parent? Am I really a good enough spouse? Does God really love me? Because I'm not a great Christian. We have all these self-doubt things coming in. And listen, when you compare yourself, it allows doubt to come in. And doubt will have you bent over. It will paralyze you. Look at this. Comparison will make you bent. And look at this story now. Let's pick it back up in verse 11 again. We just read it in Luke chapter 13. It says that Jesus saw a woman. Listen, he saw her. And I want you to see this today, that Jesus had healed many people in the past without actually seeing them. You ever thought about that? There was many people that Jesus had healed without actually seeing them. There was a woman who actually one time, the crowd was all around Jesus. They couldn't see everybody, but a woman on her hands and knees reached up and touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed by her faith. Jesus didn't see her. He felt her reaching out in faith. There was a time a guy came. He said, listen, one of my servants is sick. He goes, don't even come, Jesus. You just say the word from here, and he will be healed. So we know that Jesus can heal without actually seeing her. But Jesus did see this woman. It was important that Jesus did see this woman. And the fact that Jesus saw her is important. See, Jesus sees you today. He sees you bent over. He sees you in your doubt. He sees you when you question, am I enough? He sees you being paralyzed by fear. He sees these things coming, and he sees the weight that keeps us from lifting our head back over many times. And he notices us. He notices where we're at. Jesus didn't just see her, but he saw her past her turmoil. He saw her past, her being bent over, and Jesus saw her future healed. See, Jesus sees us beyond where we're at in our present, and he sees the potential of us being healed. The way Jesus sees us is much more important than the way the world sees us. Sometimes we're worried about what everybody else thinks of us. We're worried about what everybody else sees of us. What are they thinking of us? When we really need to be worried about is, what does Jesus think of me? What does Jesus say about me? What is Jesus' attitude toward me? These are the things that are most important. See, when Jesus sees us, he sees us chosen. He sees us qualified. He sees us redeemed. He sees us forgiven. He sees us equipped. He sees people of purpose, accepted. He sees an overcomer. He sees us saved by grace. He sees us more than enough. He sees us wonderfully and fearfully made. He sees us as children of the King. Number two, I want you to write this down. I want you to write down, we got to get unbent from disappointments. Unbent from disappointments. Listen, life is full of disappointments. People can be disappointing. Have you ever met somebody who disappointed you? I have. There's been many times that maybe there was something going on and I had to go talk to somebody and I feel like God was asking me to go deal with the situation. And I thought, you know what? Boy, I'm doing the right thing. I'm going to go and I'm going to talk to this person about the situation. And it's going to be resolved. We're going to shake hands. We're going to smile. And I went and did what God asked me to do. And that person totally rejected it. And that person was very hateful and spiteful and very bitter. And I thought, wow, you know, here I came in a spirit of doing the right thing, what God had asked me to do. You know, it's disappointing. And in our life, people are going to disappoint you. I've disappointed people, you've disappointed people, and people will disappoint us. But if we're not careful, disappointment can have us bent over. You know, it's disappointing to be a Cowboy fan. In my lifetime, the Cowboys have won 5 Super Bowls. But in my kids' lifetime, they've won 0 Super Bowls. My son said the other day, he said, Dad, he goes, Ben, you're excited because you've seen them win 5 Super Bowls. But man, they haven't even won one. You know, and it can be disappointing. The Chiefs fans understand this. They finally won last year after 50 years. Listen, there's a lot more things in life disappointing than sports. There's some very serious issues that happen that can disappoint us. You know, it was Martin Luther King who said his greatest disappointment was that many white pastors didn't march along beside him. During his civil rights marches and fighting for equality, that many white pastors, some did, but many didn't. And it really hurt him and disappointed him so much. But this man would walk, and he kept his head held high. And he walked, and he marched for the right things. And he did what he felt like God was calling him to do. He said, life is going to hit you with disappointments, and you're going to have to lift your head back up and march on to do what God is calling us to do. See, he still rose up and did many great things because he didn't allow his disappointments to keep him bent over and paralyzed. So when people disappoint us, will we allow it to get us bent? Will we allow us to become bitter, or will we get better? See, we got to say, I'm not going to allow bitterness to come in through disappointment and steal my joy and take away what God is calling me to do. I got to lift my head up. I got to rise up, keep marching on to what God is calling me to do. Sometimes the only relief from pain is to see someone doubled over. Have you ever been there when you're in so much pain in your body that you double over in a fetal position? Many times that's the only comfort somebody can get. And this is kind of what happened to this lady. She was in so much pain that she began to double over. And then she became so comfortable in her pain that she allowed herself to live her life doubled over. Instead of allowing God to take it, she lived 18 years doubled over from her pain. And many of us do the same thing. We hang on to doubt. We hang on to disappointment. And it's got us disappointed, and we're bent over in pain from this issue. And instead of giving it to God, we carry it, and then we bend over because it's become a place of comfort for us. I want you to stand back up. I want you to lift your head back up. I want you to rise up and give it over to the Lord today. He wants to carry our burdens. The Bible says he came to carry our burdens for us, to make them lighter. We must give them to him, surrender them to him. He wants us to raise back up. Stop staying there bent over. It's time for you to rise up again. It's time for you to lift up your head again. It's time for you to smile again. God's got a plan and a purpose in your life. Now look at this story in Luke chapter 13, verse 12. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Dear woman, you are healed of your sickness." Now, why would Jesus, who's completely fine, there's nothing wrong with Jesus, look over and see a woman who's bent over and crippled and say, "Come to me"? Why didn't he go to her? You ever thought about that? Why did he call her to come to him? Jesus was the one who was fine. It'd make more sense for him to go to her. But at this point, he asked her to come to him. See, Jesus needed this woman to take a step of faith toward him. He was testing her, and he was asking her to come toward him. Look at this statement. I want you to get it. Sometimes We need to stop waiting on Jesus to come to us, and we need to take a step of faith towards him. See, Jesus has already came to us. Jesus sees us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is right there by our side. He is walking with us. So Jesus is already there. Quit waiting on him to come to you. You take a step of faith to him. Take a step of action. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, take this pain. Jesus, I'm tired of being bent over. It's time for me to rise back up again. Take a step of faith to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm tired of being bent. It's time for me to rise back up. And the last thing, number three, I want you to get this, you gotta be unbent from discouragement. I want you to be unbent from discouragement. See, the enemy doesn't just want to put you in bondage. He wants to keep you there. And when you're discouraged, he's keeping you in a prison of discouragement. He's got you paralyzed, bent over, because you're so discouraged that things won't get better. You're so discouraged that the situation will never change. And the enemy's got you exactly where he wants you. 18 years, this woman had been bent over thinking things are not going to get better. But look at this story. I love this in verse 13. Then Jesus touched her and instantly, listen, when Jesus touches you, instantly you will feel different. Jesus brought a change to her life the moment that he touched her. When Jesus touched my life, all things changed in my life. My attitude changed. My destination changed. My heart changed. My spirit changed. Jesus touches us and things begin to change. He touched her and instantly she could stand up straight. And look what it says, how she praised God. You see, it's good to praise God, right? We praise God when God does something great in our life. But what I want you to catch is where this woman was at. She didn't just wait to praise God after she was healed. She was in the synagogue already worshiping the Lord. She had already made it a part of her life. She had already planned to be there, and she was there while Jesus was teaching, meaning she was already there worshiping. In her pain, she was worshiping. In her disappointment, she was worshiping. See, we got to learn that God is already worthy of our praise right now in our situation. Don't wait. Don't wait. Begin to praise the Lord now. Begin to praise the Lord now. Don't wait until he heals you. Praise him now before he heals you. Don't wait till he turns it around. Praise him now, knowing he will turn it around. See, praise unlocks that door. Praise allows us to become unbent, because we put our eyes upon the Lord, and I lift up my head once again. In closing today, I want to read this scripture in Leviticus 26 and 13. Look what it says. It says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, so you would no longer be their slaves. He doesn't want us a slave to fear. He doesn't want us a slave to anything. He goes, I broke this yoke of slavery from your neck so that you and me, we can walk with our heads held high. See, this is what Jesus came to do, to take away the weight of sin, to break the weight of being a slave. I am no longer a slave to self-doubt, because Jesus chose me. He forgave me. He redeemed me. And so I don't have to live my life bent over in comparison, bent over with disappointments, because Jesus has already fulfilled my life. He's already called me to a higher purpose, a higher calling. And I lift up my eyes, the Bible says, unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. See, today we lift up our head because Jesus has already broken the weight of being bent in our life. And today I believe that Jesus is calling you to rise again in your life. Many people hearing this message today, your life is full of situations that have kept you bent. And today, God is wanting you to be free. He wants you to be free. It's time for you to be free from disappointments. It's time for you to be free from the hurts. It's time for you to be free from self-doubt. It's time for you to be free from discouraging things in your life. And I'm ready today for you to come alive again in Christ. It's time for you to rise back up. It's time for you to stand back up. It's time for you to lift up your head. Come to Jesus. He is calling you today. It's your time. It's your time. Hear me today. It's your time. I don't care what you've been bent from. It's your time to be healed today. Jesus sees you. He's calling you. And today, he wants you to rise up. I'm going to pray for you right now. I believe God is going to raise some people up in their homes, in their living rooms, wherever you're watching this today. I believe God is going to supernaturally touch you through his Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that you see us. I thank you that you call us to you. And today, Father, we thank you that you touch us. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that your Holy Spirit would touch every person today that is crying out to you. Every person who is in their heart, in their mind, is saying, God, I need you to take this situation. I pray right now you would touch them. Begin to make them whole. Begin to help them raise their head up once again. Help them to rise up out of that situation. God, we are tired of being stuck. And in the name of Jesus, I say, rise up again. Be made whole in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today, what a powerful word. I hope that it sinks in your heart. I'm going to invite you now to join our worship team as we close with one more time of worship, and then I'm going to come back and close you with one more prayer. Amen. I thank the Lord today that many people, I believe, were healed emotionally, physically. Today, whatever you're going through, I believe the Spirit of the living God is touching you today. I can't wait to hear from you. Send us a message today. If this message ministered to you, you feel set free, send us a message. And today, if you're here to follow Jesus, say, I want to follow Jesus. I'm ready. That's the first place we start, is surrendering fully to Jesus. Repeat after me if you're ready to give your life to Jesus. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only son. And from this day forward, I will live for you. I will follow after you in Jesus' name. Welcome to the family, God. Please reach out to us. Let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. We love you so much. God bless you. We can't wait to see you again soon. God bless you.